The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychologists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different.
Welcome to The Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hello and welcome to Life on the Swing Set. This is podcast 21, and so you must be 21 to listen to this show. We are today talking about male and female bisexuality and the weird sort of schism between the two in the swinging lifestyle and non-monogamous lifestyle, and you know what? In the vanilla lifestyle as well. There seems to be a schism all over the place where there's a sort of emphasis on the female bisexuality. I'm Cooper Beckett, and today I have with me...
Hi, everybody. It's Ginger.
Hey, I'm Dylan.
This is Shira B. Katz.
I'm Kidder Caper from Sex is Fun.
And we are going to be talking about all that in a minute, but first, does anybody have any business? Because I do.
Then why don't you tell us what your business is?
All right.
It's business time.
Marilyn and I watched a really interesting porno called My Own Master, and it was as though David Lynch had made a porno because it was full of weird rockabilly music and a TV in the background with static on it that they kept fading in the static over the actual image and backwards smoking. It was very surreal and strange, and I just felt if David Lynch was going to enjoy porn, it would be that.
Nice. So, did you get done with the porn and go, what the fuck happened? Because that's kind of how I feel about David Lynch.
Well, it was there wasn't as much question. There was an interesting thing, though, that the it was the first segment of the video, and it was... this girl who'd been dancing over with the rockabilly music on, and she called two guys over and she was giving them blowjobs, and the guys started making out, which is, you know, surprising for a porno.
Which is super hot.
Well, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it's surprising. It's uncommon, in fact. And they didn't do anything else. The guys just made out, and they enjoyed their blowjobs, and then they were no longer in the film. So it is sort of Lynchian in that certain characters disappear before they can sort of fulfill their purpose in the film. Although maybe coming all over her face was their purpose in the film.
You ever notice that when you're watching a porno and trying to relay to other people what happens, it kind of sounds like you're talking about a dream, and then there was a horse and I don't know why it was there, but it showed up, and then my grandma was there.
Was there, and he wanted to fix the cable but he couldn't because people were having sex on the television.
Oh, the cable guy. It's such a good fantasy.
You like the cable guy fantasy, Ginger?
Well, you know, it's ubiquitous. It's one everybody identifies with. It's always the punchline of the joke. So,
now, do you like the German cable guy from Big Lebowski? You know, he's here to fix on the cable. You called him because he is a professional.
Ginger, you could set your sights higher. You could have like the door to door radiologist.
Ooh. Frankly,
you could have a more educated impromptu sexual adventure, I think, because you seem... Like, where was I going? I don't know.
I like the idea of the door-to-door radiologist.
Yeah.
That seems like, just... outside of porn, there might be some value there.
I didn't say brain surgeon. I said radiologist, you know, somewhere in between.
It sounds hot regardless.
So, if you want creepy, strange porn that was alluring, I won't take that away from it. Check out My Own Master on DVD.
Okay.
Who else has business? I know some other people had business.
I had a little bit of business.
Oh, do you talk about your business?
Well, I had my first out of bounds experience with somebody. I found a single lady who was not part of the lifestyle, and I got permission to fool around a little bit, and I did. And it was fun, but I think I found that it wasn't such a good idea. I'm not saying that it's always going to be a bad idea, but I didn't have a great after experience. Just because I think that she was getting a little bit of the doe-eyed look, and I think Tonya could tell. And so, you know, we talked, and she said, you know, Dylan, I don't think this is a good idea. I think you're going to have to let her go. And, you know, begrudgingly, a little bit, I said, all right. So I'm faced with having to talk to her in a day or two and tell her, listen, you know, we had pretty good chemistry, but this isn't going to work out.
Oh, and, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Where did you find the vanilla girl?
Well, turns out, and this was probably my mistake, but she apparently had a crush on me a couple of years ago. And, you know, bowling league stuff. So she contacted me out of the blue recently.
I actually heard that bowling leagues are the greatest place to find swingers.
I've heard that too. I haven't yet found that in practice because I haven't found any other actual swingers. But that's where I found her, and or she found me. And, yeah, so I need to be a little more... I need a little more out on the watch to make sure that somebody's not trying to fall into a relationship, because that's not where I am right now.
Now, do you think she was actually looking for that? Is it because she's into you and she can't separate that? Is that what you feel?
I think that Tonya definitely feels that she wouldn't be able to separate that. I think I agree with her. I was not thinking that way at the time, for obvious reasons, but I'm glad that I had her... her clarity to kind of lay out the case for that and say, you know what, this is how it is, and you know, I don't think this is a good idea. And
when you always have to be ready and willing for the other player to pull the emergency brake, you know, for your significant other to say, okay, I don't know why this wigs me out, but it wigs me out, so it needs to stop.
Right, and be able to go with their gut. So Dylan went before. The vanilla unicorn kind of came into the picture. Had you had a conversation with her to say what your scenario is with Tonya?
Yes. I told her that, you know, I was up front and told her that we were swingers and that, you know, told her a little bit about the lifestyle and, you know, kind of sold her on the whole. Well, I wasn't trying to sell her on the concept, but, you know, she was interested. And so I told her about it and told her how we felt and how, you know, great we kind of feel about the whole thing. And you know, she sounded like she could handle that, but again, you know, from anybody else's perspective, this is somebody that wanted to be with me and then all of a sudden saying, you know, here's how you can be with me, but you have to accept a couple other things. And she isn't part of the community, and I'm not trying to be elitist or anything, but people that are in the community kind of have this understanding of how you interface with other people and
what's acceptable, what's not.
Right, and this girl, if she becomes part of the community, I think it'd be great, but she's not, and she doesn't have those understandings, and so I'm kind of torn a little bit. I'm obviously not going to pursue this anymore because, you know, Tonya asked me not to, and that's cool.
Evangelizing is so hard. To bring people over to your side is really difficult. Well, I think you did your part, Dylan, in terms of, you know, I agreed, totally agreed, Shira, but I think you did your part in terms of you did the lay of the lands, and she has her own agency as an individual. And so there is a learning curve for people that are outside the community, whether, you know, poly, swinger, whatever, ethical non-monogamists. Mm-hmm. There's a learning curve to figuring out how to navigate those relationships because we don't have a model to follow. And so I'll stop now, but I just think you were fair.
Good job, Dylan. I give you kudos. Same thing happened to me at my high school reunion. When a girl was like, we should get it on. I'm like, here's how we can do that. And then it was suddenly like deer in the headlights. It was like,
right.
What? Well, you're going to tell your wife about this? I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how we do this.
It is fascinating how many single girls are completely cool with the, yeah, let's fuck around behind the wife's back. But as soon as you suggest, oh, no, she's going to be well aware of it and it's okay, then it's
sometimes
then it's
I feel like that's what turns problem. Them on. Yeah, I sometimes think that it's just they're weirded out by it, but and they had to think about it. But I think some of them get off on the steal. And if they can't steal, they're really not that interested in it.
Which is fascinating, isn't it?
So then what we could do is talk to your partner and see if it's okay. And then, no, because I'd be lying to that person. I suppose that would be wrong. And
Well, no, your only responsibility is to your partner. As long as you're not giving anyone anything, you know, irreversible.
What really freaks him out is when you say that you've got to tell your partner, too. Like, he's got to be cool with it. And then suddenly she's like, I didn't say, you're lying. I wasn't coming out of you when I was grabbing your dick. That wasn't me. That was somebody else.
Well, I was just seeing if it was there. I was feeling it for her, you know, just.
I wanted to make sure that you didn't lose it between when we graduated and now. That's an experiment we should all try.
And Dylan, knowing that you're kind of on the newer side of things, I think allowing your wife to kind of take rein and put a hold on things will set a good precedent for the future of your relationship, and giving her the power to do so will probably make her a lot more comfortable with you in the future pursuing other unicorns out there and having your own relationships.
Well, I'm not going to say
it odd
didn't,
that unicorns have no idea how hot they are and how rare they are when you tell them they're a unicorn. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
What? A unicorn? I don't understand.
It's like, why would I be any different right now? Than it is because you're what everybody is looking for.
I think I should really stick to evangelizing without a target in mind, I guess. Maybe I'd come off as a little more authentic and feel a little bit better about it.
That's how I got my unicorn.
That is a very freeing thing.
I have a unicorn. I have a male unicorn. Yeah, that's how I got mine. I met him.
Bulls.
Bulls? Really? I don't think I've heard that.
Bulls aren't mythical.
Maybe I call them bulls because, well, there's
how about
lots of them. It's not mythical.
How about a centaur, minotaur?
So do you have a stable of bulls yet then?
Hold on. There's unicorns. There's unicorns because they're so rare. Single men are everywhere. That makes them about as uncommon as bulls.
Single bi men? Does that help?
Okay. No, that's rare. You know what? And here, you know, to segue into our show, I have found that most of the single straight men, as soon as you say we're only looking for bi men right now, reveal their bi tendencies.
Oh,
really?
There you go.
Yeah, so.
Because they're that desperate to get laid.
Well, that could be but that's a huge step to make just to have sex.
Yeah, but on the point of evangelizing, I will say, Dylan, not having a goal kind of really does help. For both of my partners, actually, my husband and my boyfriend, you know, it was more conversational. This is the way I am, and eventually, years down the line, I ended up with these people.
So you got to be patient.
Yes.
This is very true. I've noticed myself being the person that other friends count on to tell their mark, you know, their score, their the chick they want to get on about what we do.
So they bring her here.
And then because I have, you know, I feel the responsibility to explain what's more than likely going to happen when we hit the hot tub. I'm like, you know what goes on. And she's like, no. And then I tell her, I'm like, oh, you don't have any clue. But they've already kind of figured out she's good to go. So I explain it. And she's like, yeah, I'd be up for that Ferris wheel. And then we go and ride. But I'm not the one riding with her.
So they're relying on you to do the dirty work, but you don't get any of the benefit.
And I'm not looking for anything. So there's nothing lost or gained either way. You know, it's all good. I'm cool being that guy. Sure.
I would totally do that for any one of you.
I need a
Just
want to
put that
life.
Out there. There.
You know what? Every party needs a fucking kidder caper. That is the truth. Really. That's
that
why we
make
games.
That means you have
games.
To syndicate, right?
No, that's why we sell games. Because I am the game at your party. That's like having me there. I get shit started and going. Yeah.
And so buy Kidder Capers games. And remember,
see, that was my business.
I think that Unpredictable is fucking awesome. And we've played it a whole bunch of times. And I think you need to get it.
Hey, Cooper. What do you think about me bringing out a couple of the games during the Halloween party that I'm going
to
be hosting?
I'm bringing the games to the fucking Halloween party.
Oh, well, you've done most of the work for me then. Awesome.
Yeah, which is confusing to those people who are listening to this podcast sometime in early November when they're like, what? Halloween party? Oh, it must have already happened.
I'm sorry. When you brought them over and we had a great time and converted 30 people, that was awesome.
Speaking of the sex is fun games, I just got the iPhone app, the Spin the Bottle app, and I've been playing around with that a little bit. Can't wait to bring it out at the next party.
I just got my first iPhone. Now I'm gonna have to go download shit. Thanks a lot.
Okay, let's segue on this business segment. Wow. This business segment lasted a little longer than I anticipated.
Well, you know, yeah, Cooper, this show is supposed to be about bisexuality.
Totally, it's totally going
to
be cool. I'm going to make it. It's going to be cool. Okay, so tonight we are discussing bisexuality. And what I find very interesting is how bisexuality does not really have any sort of firm definition of what it is. You know, gay, straight, that's pretty simple. Gay people only have sex with their same gender. Straight people only have sex with their opposite gender. But bisexual, you know, there's so many other alternative fun terms like bi curious and bi friendly and bi accepting. And it makes it much harder for us to actually figure out, you know, personally, and this might be controversial, I believe as soon as you're not straight or gay, you are bisexual. That is the interim. That is also the gray. There's black, there's white, and there's gray. And I don't believe there are nearly as many people that are black or white as they think they are, and the racial implications are not being made in that statement.
Well, if you think about the Kinsey scale, which is a range of 0 through 6, that's 7 numbers there. Only 2 of those numbers describe polar opposites of having no bisexuality whatsoever. And all 5 of the middle numbers do show do identify bisexual people. So there are many more shades of gray there.
And what I find interesting is people have such strong opinions on what bisexual is and what bicurious is. In fact, you know, I came out as bisexual in October, and I was specifically told, you know, you might not be bisexual. It's like, okay, why is that? It's like, well, because you're not interested in pursuing this, this, and this. And I'm not interested in having a relationship with a man, so maybe that does make me not officially bisexual. But I don't regard myself as bicurious, because to me, bicurious means you're considering doing stuff with a member of the same sex. And once you do it and like it and want to do it again, I think you're well beyond bisexual.
I've always been of the opinion that you never have to prove that you're straight. You don't have to sleep with someone to prove that you're straight. There's virgins out there that say, yes, I am straight. So I feel like bisexual or bicurious people have just as much right to label themselves however they want, no matter what activity they have participated in.
And Shira, I totally agreed. And I've said this before and feel like it's just kind of one of those things that I feel like just is such a mind bender for some people, is the idea that sexual behavior is independent of that label you choose or your sexual orientation, that there are people whose sexual behavior is not consistent with the label that they choose for themselves, because those labels around sexual orientation tend to be the outward communities of which we're a part. And so the example of friends who identify as lesbian, who are out, who are lesbian, who partner emotionally and life partner connect with women who want to fuck men. and occasionally, and vice versa, and the straight men who like to get blowjobs, and the whatever you want to look at in terms of behavior, we independently as individuals are choosing that label or that orientation where we relate on an out in an outward way with those communities. So whether that's straight, bi, gay, lesbian, and what is tricky about bisexual is that although there's bisexual communities out there and alliances and, you know, the GLBTQ alphabet soup folks that are all open, there's not a huge movement around bisexual awareness. And of course, as soon as I say that, then there's going to be tons of people who are like, well, yeah, we're here and there's bisexual awareness. There is indeed. But in terms of mainstream awareness around sexuality, bisexuality tends to be kind of one of those that's not, like you said, Cooper, well-defined, or it's the road to being gay or the road to being a lesbian or what have you. It's not a place where you reside in your behavior and in your outward identity as well.
What's funny, and I think Shira probably will be able to talk to this because she specifically is talking to me about pansexuality. But, you know, gay and straight, we've come to a point in our culture where we acknowledge that people are born straight. People are born gay. But we really don't leave any where to move in the middle. You know, it's people are either a one or a zero, and they are not anything else. There is no other area there. And you have educators, even Dr. Ruth, who I've been always very happy with what she has to say about sexuality and her positiveness. She, for a time, would come out and say that there is no such thing as bisexuality. And it was only when the bisexuals said, hey, I think you forgot about us here, and we buy your books too, that she recanted and didn't actually say, you know what, bisexuality is an active and vibrant community of otherwise thinking people. But she specifically acknowledged that, yes, you may in fact exist.
So then when people find out later in life that they're bi, have we decided, or have we thought about whether they were actually born bi or just came around to it? I mean, how is that going to work then? How does that work?
Personally, I think it's a lot to do with the same kind of things as open relationships. Refusal to define your sexuality in any specific terms that have already been ingrained in you. You know, bisexuality is not that different from being interested in an open relationship, which is not what, you know, you are either single or in a relationship. You know, you can be in an open relationship. It's okay for you to be in this gray area between the one and zero, the binaries here.
And one of the things to keep in mind when you're talking about binary sexuality is there's also the gender aspect of things. Gender is not always binary. You're not always male
right.
or female.
Absolutely.
There are people who are transgendered, who people who consider themselves gender queers or gender fucks. Those are my favorite. The androgynous, the people
wait,
out there
wait, what
that
was,
are...
What was that last one that was your favorite?
Gender queers and gender fucks, the people who kind of fuck around with sexual
So you
sexual
did say
roles.
Gender fucks and not gender fox.
Fox, not Fox.
I thought you said okay. David Bowie.
I just wanted to make sure that I understood
David Bowie,
where you were going.
If there could be a sexuality that was specifically
David Bowie is a sexuality all by
Absolutely.
Himself.
There
he's
you go.
Gender foe. That's what David Bowie
But
is.
As a pansexual, I kind of recognize the in-between of gender as well. I'm attracted to trans people. I'm attracted to the gender fucks out there. I'm attracted to the androgynous people out there. I find that it's not so much about male or female for me, it's about the people in particular. And being pansexual, I can say that in particular, I almost prefer the people who kind of float, the people who like androgyny, the people who are bisexual, the people who are in between. That really gets me off.
So when we're talking about things like the labels, to go back just a step, bicurious and, you know, all that, I agree with you, man. Labels kind of piss me off too, because they basically help people from the outside understand what you are. But it does not tell the, it doesn't tell the full story. It doesn't, it's not like that's going to make sense to everyone. It's, it's going to make stereotypes, or people who like to stereotype feel better, because then they think they understand. Curious to me means you're trying to figure shit out. So I do believe that there is a stage that is fine to call yourself curious, because I'm playing around to figure out what it is that I'm interested in trying. And I've watched many women go through a bi-curious stage until they were ready to say, damn, I like dick and box, and they're both really awesome. Or I like one more than the other. Whatever. You know, there's a curious phase, and I'm all for letting people have as much time in their curious phase as possible. And then I want to talk about another thing, which is the bisexual thing, how, Cooper, you said that there's gay, there's lesbian, there's transgendered, and then there's bisexual, which doesn't get the same respect or the same clout as everything else. And there's a big reason why. Everyone in the show is non-monogamous. And non-monogamy gets less respect than any other form of sexuality, because you're having multiple partners. It's not legit. And bisexuals, by the very nature of the word, means two. Bi means two. It means that you're looking for more than one partner. And everyone in the gay, a lot of people in the gay community, a lot of people in the lesbian community, a lot of people in fucking the straight community and every community in general is like, you are not allowed to do that. Yep. And therefore, bisexuality is not legitimate.
Yep. And that's the most fascinating thing about bisexual discrimination, is it's coming from both sides. I mean, you expect to see bisexual discrimination from straight males against bi males. You expect to see that, because it's the same kind of thing you see against gay males. You know, we have this machismo community, and it's ridiculous and it's foolish. But while female bisexuality is not only acceptable, but
it's acceptable in the swinger community, but it is not acceptable in the lesbian community.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The non-monogamous need as much acceptance as the GLBT.
Right.
And until that happens, bisexuals will always be the little retarded half brother of that. Of that acronym. Seriously, they will. And that's just the way it is, until finally the non-monogamous group, poly and swingers, get their
agreed.
It amazes me what vitriol a lot of members of the gay community, and I would never say the entire gay community, let me be very clear on this, but a lot of members of the gay community will not only discount the rights of the bisexual community, but will specifically say the bisexual community does not exist. You know, there are lots of gay men who say that all bisexual men are just on the road to gay. Yes.
Oh, sure. And the lesbians too. Absolutely.
And it is such a joke that a community that has been fighting so hard for just respect of any kind. And it's almost like, you know, when you get the guy who's being bullied in school, and then someone else comes along and he's being bullied. So this other guy who's being bullied is like, oh, I'm going to pick on this new guy too, because that makes me cool for the main bully.
Yeah. Well, and I have to circle back to Kidder's point about the lack of respect around non-monogamy, in the sense that one thing that shocks me is how so many friends of mine who are gay and lesbian have this very mainstream view around partnering and monogamous partnering, and really, you know, pushing for marriage equality and all of that good stuff. I mean, I'm all for that. Whatever people want to do is what they should do. But it goes back to this, but it needs to be in the context of one person and one person. We can't have any more than one, you know, two people who are life partnered, because that's just wrong. It's like, wait a second. That, and we've talked about this with, you know, Shira. I mean, we talked about this on the podcast, that there, I do believe it's the next sexual revolution going to that place of the non-monogamists are next in line to say, wait a second, if we're talking about partnerships being something that is up for negotiation, and so that means it's one man and one man or one woman and one woman, well, who's to say that those of us who are bisexual can't decide, well, my partnership includes one or two or three or how many ever people work into our life in that way? And I guess that brings me to thinking about, in my position, which I think I've been pretty clear about, is that, you know, Prof and I are not out in any way, whether that's non-monogamy, with our non-monogamy, or with the fact that I'm bisexual, and only with friends, you know, swinger friends, are we out. And I've wanted to come clean with friends and say, you know, I'm bi. But then in the context of having what Prof and I call vanilla privilege, that we look like your general suburban couple, male, female couple raising our family, my friends would just look at me and say, well, what does it matter if you're bisexual? Because you're already partnered. You've chosen your life partner. You don't get to be bisexual. You've already made your selection, and now you can't be greedy. And how would you even? It's kind of a moot point. So it's just fascinating to me from that place, and wanting to be an ally and wanting to be out and wanting to kind of beat that drum of ethical non-monogamy. But, and the time will come. But it is interesting that I can't even really be out, or I could. I mean, it's a big, big choice to make. But to even say to friends, I'm bisexual, because I've already made my selection of life partner.
Well, by the very act of admitting that you are bisexual would just open up the question of what does it matter, which would then lead to the question of, are you in a monogamous relationship?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just, there's the, that slippery slope of how much do you want to come out with? Because I do think that for me, being able to say I'm bisexual or omnisexual or whatever makes sense for me to friends who are not in the lifestyle is my choice. Once I start to put it out there that we're non-monogamous, then that includes Prof. And so it becomes about us as a couple, as opposed to just my outing myself in my personal sexuality.
As our bisexuality discussion went long into the night, we've decided to break it up into two episodes. So this is the end of part one. And next week, you will be hearing part two of this discussion. So I hope it doesn't put you out, but it gives you a little something to look forward to. So this has been Life on the Swing Set, episode 21, where we come of age, as it were. You can be... You like that?
You know, it was actually pretty good, but it just you said it.
You don't usually like my closing.
No, it was actually good, but like it made me smile because it was good, and now I want to make fun of you because it was good. It's like, oh, I feel terrible.
So I shouldn't have called attention to it. Well, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow my inane ramblings on Twitter at swingsetlife. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. We've been getting some wonderful emails from people asking questions, following up on podcast information. It's really great. And we've been having a lot of people talking about just what a great thing we're doing and how we have expanded their view of non-monogamy and poly and swinging. And that's really awesome, and that really means tons. So keep that coming up. You can give us a call at 573-55-SWING, and that's 573-557-9464. And as always, the quickest way to get your voicemail played on the show is if you come for us. You have a big old loud and wonderful orgasm on our voicemail. That would be totally groovy.
Yay! Orgasms are great.
Orgasms are great. So this has been Cooper Beckett with Life on the Swing Set. Thank you, Kidder Caper, Shirby Katz, Ginger, and Dylan for making it a memorable show. We'll catch you next week for part two. Thanks for swinging by. Life on the Swing Set is currently seeking bloggers and article writers. So if you have an idea or thought that we may not have covered, or you have a unique angle that you'd like to cover, please email me at contact@lifeontheswingset with your pitch, your introduction, or anything else that you think I might want to know on why you should be climbing on up and joining us on the swing set. Again, that's contact@lifeontheswingset.com.